Hi everyone, Daniel Ramsey here, the CEO of MyOutDesk and the host of Scale the Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to having conversations that unlock the exact formula and strategies multi-million and billion-dollar companies use to scale their business. You can visit me on our website at scalethepodcast.com or listen to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
We're going to talk about how to create a sales flywheel in your business so you can grow and scale. I'm using all the tools that I use right now in my business, and I'm gonna share exactly the step-by-step process that I wish I would have had 20 years ago when I first started a business. We're gonna talk about sales, and the most important thing is to understand who your ideal customer is. Now, this document is how to build a brand. I got this from a SaaS technology company, a friend of mine who lives in Truckee, California, actually. We were chatting one day and he's like, hey, have you ever actually defined exactly what you're gonna say to your customers? And he shared with me his example of this. And that's an interesting idea about entrepreneurs. When you get the right entrepreneurs to be in your circle and to be peers to you, they will share their secret sauce, the things that have helped make them successful. And that's what I'm doing today, is I'm sharing with you a framework that you can use inside your sales team that I wish I would have had 20 years ago to grow and scale, and we use it today. So this is what's important. This isn't something I read about, or it's not something that I thought about. This is actually what we use inside of all of my companies in order to define the sales process. Sales is a function of marketing, but see, what you want to do is, marketing is your message and sales is the conduit which you describe your message. So really important, they are playing together, meaning they have to be in the same room and they have to share a common message. Think of it like marketing is the bait. If you're out there fishing on a boat, it's the stuff that gets the fish to bite, but sales is the process of reeling it in, you know, getting the net, pulling the fish out, you know, putting it in the boat, then slicing it up, and then serving it. Marketing helps bring the customers, and sales helps deliver the customers as actual revenue opportunities for the business. So I'm starting with building a marketing framework because it's really important you start with a unified message, meaning you don't want your sales team saying something different than your marketing team. So the very first thing is, who are your customers and what do you actually offer them? And I like the framework, or think of it like, hey, who's gonna buy my service or product, and what's in it for them when they buy my service or product? So you wanna write that down. Then ideal customers, where are you going in the revenue mark? Are these small businesses that you're serving? Are these consumers that you're serving? What's your core offering? Meaning, a lot of businesses get confused about what their one offer is. They're like, oh, I can do this other thing, or I could do this other thing, because they're chasing money and they're chasing profits versus being true to what their vision is for their business. So it's really important that you define your core offering. A way to explain this is, I do this for this audience or this group of people so they can have this benefit. Our solutions, how is our mousetrap just a little bit better than our competitors or what's already out there in the marketplace? Then you're gonna go to the mission. You know, what do you guys solve for? Who are you actually serving, and what does the world look like for them when they actually become customers? A little about us page, a little our values, why these values matter to the employees and the team and the customers. And then what are our differentiators? This is a tip, actually. I learned this as a real estate agent, funny enough. On the left-hand side of a document, you have all the things that are uniquely you. Like, for instance, I've been in the virtual assistant services business for 17 years. None of my competitors have. We only hire the top 0.5% of talent because we get hundreds of thousands of applicants every year, and nobody has that many applicants. And so on the left-hand side, you're stating as differentiators all the things that only you can be. And then on the right-hand side, you have your competitors, and then they don't have a check mark next to them. So your differentiators are the things that are uniquely you, that make you special, and they can't be duplicated by your customers or by your competitors. So that's what differentiators are. And then how we do it. Like, how do you deliver your product or service that is just unique or different or better? These are the basics of a marketing framework, and why this matters for sales is because you don't want your 10 or 20 salespeople all jumping around and saying things differently. You want them to sound exactly like you, saying it exactly the same way You are. Okay, next, we're gonna go into building a sales framework. And I explain this as just simply, I want my customers to feel and look like they came into the same process, no matter who on the team they helped. So building a framework, a lot of people use scripts. A lot of people are like, here's what I want you to say on the phone, or here's what I want you to present when they're on a Zoom call or a Teams call. I prefer frameworks, which is a process-based understanding of, hey, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three. And so I've got this checklist that I'm gonna throw up on the screen for you. And it's a bunch of questions to ask you when you served your last client or the last 10 clients, what was the process that you went through to serve them? And see, what we're doing in the sales process right now, and again, this is how to build a sales flywheel, and a flywheel has a centrifugal force. And I don't know if you've ever been on a merry-go-round when you're out, you put your hands out like this, and then as you bring them in, it goes faster. Well, that's the same process for an entrepreneur. When you're out there doing the work, it can go only so fast. But as you kind of step back and let others take on, hopefully that wheel starts spinning faster and faster and faster. That's how you know you've created a sales flywheel. So in this framework, the first question is like, hey, what question can we ask to help build rapport with a customer? The second question, what's the most important reason between you and the customer, the potential customer, what's the important reason for them being there? Like what's important to them? What makes them kind of being interested in having this sales conversation? Being hyper-focused on the customer's win is step two. Step three, identify the service or provide and establish their needs. See, they're not coming in to you to waste their time. They're not coming in to talk to you about the weather or about that baseball game or whatever else. They're in there because they have a business need or a consumer need. As a salesperson, you have to hone in on that need and be hyper-focused on it. So the next step is simply understand the customer's need and why it's important to them. All this process up to now is just to understand how to build rapport with a customer, why they're there, what their customer need is, and just kind of your information gathering. The next step is actually use that information to leverage the information that they provided and the services or products that you sell so that you can give them a presentation as to why your service or product is ideal for them, is gonna help them solve their problem or need. Or in this case, you know, maybe you've got gathered all the information and they're just not a fit. This is the place for you to opt out, say, hey, unfortunately, you know, we go back to this idea of what your core offering is. For instance, if you sell one thing and the customer comes in and says, I know you sell this one thing, but I need you to do this one thing, and then I need you to do the next thing and the next thing, and you're like, I don't do two or three, I only do one. This is the place where you can politely say that, unfortunately, all we do is service one, and I'd be super excited to help you do the service one, but we just can't. So in this moment, you're either pushing them off the bus or pulling them onto the bus. You're actually gonna do some sort of a presentation with your value proposition and why the world is better if they decide to become customers. And then you wanna paint the picture, a place where you've solved their problem, they've come on board as a customer, and you're vision casting for that customer what it will be like. So I literally will say, hey, how important is this problem? If we don't solve this problem today, what's at stake? And this is the process that you want to go through. And again, you've got to use your expertise to build this process for yourself. So it's on the screen. You can actually go through and download this, or you can go below in the comments and grab a copy of all these documents that I'm going to be sharing with you, because it's really important. While you're there, by the way, hit subscribe, because that's what makes this all worth it for everybody, is I share content, you like content, you download the content, hopefully you grow and scale, which would be cool. Okay, the next step is share a piece of value. It's really important that your customers walk away from interacting with you with information or knowledge or something of value that helps equip them to make a decision to either buy your service or product. So it's really important Can I give them a blog? Can I give them a piece of information? Can I give them a bid with more details? Can I show them the process of like what it's gonna be like to buy my product or service? Like, this is a huge part of the sales process, is you wanna make sure that you're planting a seed in them, like this world is gonna be better when you do X, Y, and Z with us. And then what documentation do you have in process? Some people put bids out, some people have contracts, some people just need an order form, sometimes you just need to collect a credit card and call it a day. Just know what the buying process looks like and make sure you clearly articulate and define it for your customers. And then ask the customer, and this is a big deal, by the way, and we're talking about building a flywheel. So again, that flywheel means that there's gotta be more than just this one customer interaction. So in this space, like, hey, this is a time to ask the customer, hey, did I do a good job? Did I give you the information that you need? Do you feel like you can trust me? Where are we at with this conversation? Is this been good for you? I like to just simply ask the customer, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about our time together? Was this really valuable for you, or was it a complete waste of time? What's wild is salespeople are scared of doing that, but it's the best thing in the world is to get feedback. Feedback is the breakfast of champions. And so really important that you ask the customer, hey, was this good for you? So this is a sales framework. If you just go through your selling process, your customer's journey, and you outline this process, you can actually teach others to sell on your behalf. And it's a really, really, really big deal. Okay, I wanna go over the last piece of creating a sales flywheel. I've got a couple of frameworks that I think are really important for salespeople. Number one is the four P's. So your salespeople need to be prospecting. Prospecting and talking to customer is the air that we breathe. It's the thing that generates revenue for our business. And so it's really important that if you're not currently with a client, your sales team is trying to get with a client. So getting with a client is presenting, so you're in a sales conversation with a potential client. That's the second P. And then the third is persistent follow-up. Some products and services you pitch and they just buy, but most of the time there's some follow-up, whether that's email or text or a second meeting. Maybe your enterprise sales, maybe your product has a 6 months or a 1 year sales process. That means persistent follow-up is a really big deal. And then potential referrals. Again, I go back to the feedback is the breakfast of champions. So if somebody says, this has been a 10, Daniel, we've had a really good time, this has been a great conversation, you answered all my questions, and I can't thank you enough, I'm like, that's great. I'm super glad that I got a 10 out of 10. That's amazing. By the way, who else do you know? Who else also needs this product or service? Who else might have the same problems that you have? You'll be surprised how many people, when they have a great experience with you as a salesperson, will actually give you referrals just because they had a great experience. There's also this process of reciprocity that's very human. So if you provide value to somebody and you give them a good sales process and you help them evaluate what their best next steps might be, this is an area for you to shine and then ask for a referral. Now the mistake here, a lot of people will ask for a referral no matter what. You have to get the feedback first. You have to ask, was this valuable for you? And they have to have a positive response before you can actually ask for a referral. Because if you don't, you're breaching the laws of reciprocity that are very human, that we all know. You need to give before you ask or you get, and that is just a rule that you must follow. Those are the four P's, super important when you're building a sales team and creating a sales flywheel. The three R's are referrals, recommendations, and reviews. Referrals, we've talked about that, potential referrals, it's the number one lead source for most businesses. Most businesses out there are built on referrals because you're taking care of your customers and you're doing a good job with your product or service. By default, give your number to other people and tell other people about how well you've done at serving their problem or delivering a great product. So that's a really big deal. Get the referrals. The next is recommendations. Everything is online. Everything is review based, which means when somebody says, hey, Daniel, this has been great for me, I'll actually just ask, would you mind providing a recommendation? A online video recommendation saying how much you enjoyed even the sales conversation and or buying my product or service. So if I have a happy customer and they are super ecstatic, That's a period for the entrepreneur to take advantage of that moment, that momentum that is built because you've solved a problem for the customer, and that's when you wanna record a video. So a recommendation is a video that the customer actually produces saying that you solved their problem with your product or service. Really big deal if you can nail that at the appropriate time. Again, it needs to be in the euphoric moment of purchase. This is a big deal. Or the euphoric moment of more purchase, meaning let's say the person bought 5 or 10 widgets from you and then they came back and bought 5 or 10 more. That's the moment to ask. And so it's really important that you're doing it in a moment of euphoria for your customers. Okay, third, reviews. Nobody ever buys a product or service without checking the online reviews. So Google, social media, your own website, those are places to make sure your best customers are prominently featured with 5-star reviews. I learned this actually from a digital marketing person that we hired almost 7-8 years ago. And we were asking for reviews, but we were like sadly asking for reviews. Please give me a review if you enjoyed your product or service. He was like, no, that's not how you do it, Daniel. You start the sentence saying, hey, if you've enjoyed working with us, please give us a 5-star review and here's the link. And so it was a massive game changer. We're actually the highest rated virtual assistant company by third parties and by our customers' own reviews. So it's a really big deal to plant that seed of getting reviews, recommendations, and referrals. That will help drive revenue. So we've put all this stuff together and I want to provide the last piece of value, and it's a really big deal because we have something called the sales toolbox. And what that means is actually it's just a Google Drive, so it's nothing crazy, but it's a Google Drive to provide value internally to our own salespeople. And a lot of people miss this. As the entrepreneur, we have buried ourselves in understanding the customer's problems. We've buried ourselves in understanding our product and service, meaning we've gone to town understanding every angle of what the customer needs. Then we've delivered it at a really high level and we know everything about the business. So when we bring a salesperson in to sell on our behalf, we skip the fact that that salesperson just simply doesn't have our experience. They don't have our lived wisdom inside of our own business. There's just zero ways to replace my 20 years of experience building businesses. Like, I can talk to you all day long on this video about sales and what it's like, but I've lived having to build sales teams. So I have experience and wisdom that just simply is difficult to duplicate, even explain in a video. And yet I do my best by creating a sales toolbox for our sales team, which has our presentation, has a binder with our sales process in it, has the sales reps process. So right now I'm naming all the things that we provide to our salespeople so that they can win. So they have a copy of our framework. They have a copy of our marketing framework. They have a copy of our presentation. They have video copies of me actually doing the presentation. They have a binder with all these things lined up in that binder so they can refer to it anytime they want to. We also have a process outlined in our CRM of exactly what they need to put in depending on the stages of the customer's journey, right? So we want them to put notes. We want them to fill out the information a particular way. We've got that documented in our sales toolbox. Okay, how often do we want them to follow up with customers? What's the process if you find yourself without a customer presentation to do? What's the expectation of who they should be calling and what should they be saying? So we have our frameworks and scripts and all of our processes, top 5 activities for leads to show up. Like, here's a big deal. You book a sales call with somebody, so tomorrow at 2:00. Well, guess what? There's a higher percentage of them showing up if it's on their calendar and they've actually accepted it. Here's another a way to like drive people to show up. Have somebody call them the morning of, send them a text and say, hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you today at 2:00. So we have the highest probable activities a salesperson can do inside of our business so that the leads show up for a consultation. Then we have the 3 R's and the 4 P's. We have objection handlers. Guess what? This is something that blows my mind. A new entrepreneur who's building a sales team, in their head, they just know what to say, but they have failed to actually document it. It's not difficult. You can actually go into ChatGPT, push the button on your phone, and then just voice the objections. What are the top 20 objections that your business gets? What are the questions that every single customer asks? Like, how do I train them? How do I get them on board? So we have that document outlined in our sales toolbox. How to use the technology. Guess what? There's a calendar scheduling, there's a Zoom thing, there's a CRM, there's a marketing automation, there's a whole bunch of technology. I mean, just simply sending an email, making sure it's copied to the CRM so that there's a record that an email or a text or a phone call, there is a process for that. So we've documented all of our technology and all of our processes so that somebody has a reference document also to see. Then we've documented our sales process, meaning our customers come to us in all different shapes and sizes. From a brand new company that's making $250,000 to a billion-dollar company that's growing millions of dollars of revenue every quarter. So we've staged our customers in their appropriate revenue stages, and we've documented that inside of our sales toolbox so that everybody knows who our customers are and what stage of their revenue journey they're at. So we can effectively communicate with a huge multinational corporation that has offices around the globe to a local painter who's a franchisee. We want to be able to have conversations with our customers that are appropriate to our customers. So you have to document this stuff. Here's one that most people miss too. We have our blog inventory in a spreadsheet. Because we've been in business for 20 plus years, we've got a ton of content. Well, guess what? There's a spreadsheet with all the inventory of different content that we've put out, whether we put it out in an email or a blog post or a social media post. So we have that inventory so that our sales team can access it quickly and be able to send that information to a customer. But here's the thing, all of this is all provided in a 2-week training and then a 90-day onboarding for a new sales team. And then at the bottom, we have the sales team member actually sign it saying they received all of this information. So the last piece of this, and I want to make sure that I'm clear, the sales toolbox is actually a framework for onboarding. It's a framework for documenting your sales process, and it's a framework for making sure that your sales team can sell exactly the way you want your customers served. And so all of these things wrapped up into a, you know, wrapped up into a bow will actually achieve a revenue growth for your company. And this is the number one job of a CEO, is to drive revenue for your company. And what I just shared is 4 frameworks that you can actually rip off and redistribute into your own business so that you can also drive revenue in your business.